Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, from a conversation around money and, of course, how the markets are performing and even vehicles, we now shift our attention to actually understand some of the sectors that contribute to these things that we have access to. That's the manufacturing industry, whether it's our cars, whether it's our food, whether it's the materials like steel and iron ore that are produced to make sure that buildings and structures can actually be formed. It does speak to what we do see when it comes to factory output and the performance on that end. Tonight, we do take a look at the producer price inflation and October PMI, which is a reference as to the cost pressures that manufacturers have been managing. And seasonally adjusted number four, PMI, actually declined to 49.2 points in October. Now, essentially, we were above 50 points in September, so we are seeing a slight pullback in terms of the performance. To help us unpack what this means and why it's necessary, why it matters, we join now by Sello Sikele, economist at APSA, to give us some perspective into the numbers. Sello, welcome to Kaya Biz, and thank you so much for your time. I guess when we take a look at what the index has been showing us from a month-on-month point of view, is this a surprise move given the decline we see in October?
Evening to you, Gugu, and the listeners. So, what I want to point out here is that, even when you look, before I even answer a question, even when you look from the beginning of this year, what the PMI has been showing is that business conditions in the sector have been quite challenging, right? So in terms of whether this is a surprise or not, I would say yes, it's a downside surprise, because we thought that the number that we saw in September will at least carry through to October. But it looks like in October, manufacturers faced new challenges. So we saw output declining, and we saw demand also following suit. What's interesting, especially on the demand side, is that there was weakness in both the domestic market as well as the external market.
And let's talk about some of those pressures, right? Because many of us might think from a local point of view, electricity production is back in swing. We haven't seen any load shedding. So internally, when it comes to internal factors, it seems as though we've been resilient. So where are we seeing the slippage come through?
Yeah, so look, I mean, this is where, insights matter, because when you look at things like, vehicle sales, I know you just had an interview on vehicles.
Yes.
Now. Vehicle sales are doing quite well this year. So the consumer story, when you look at vehicle sales, retail sales, I mean, the consumer story is good. But where it's not that great in terms of the domestic story is the investment story. So we know that, domestic demand also entails investment. And there we haven't really seen investment coming through in ways that we would like it to. But in this regard, I want to say that good news, at least in terms of the Operation Vulindlela update that we saw last week, it seems like structural reforms are gaining momentum. If you look at the second report relative to the first report of phase two, there were no structural reforms that are facing critical challenges that might derail the reforms. So yes, now perhaps not so good story in terms of investment, but going forward, we expect something to come through and lift demand.
How much more demand could be lifted, especially if we take a look at the exogenous factors like Trump and his trade policies? That's been front and center in terms of focus for the headlines throughout much of this year. Is this also waning and playing a drag effect on manufacturing confidence?
Definitely. So when you look at new sales orders, I did say that the weakness is both domestic and external. And on the external side, their tariffs are playing an important role, right, in terms of their effect on global economy. And what's interesting is that the manufacturers also highlighted logistical issues, right? So it looks like the domestic Well, rather the external sector is not that supportive right now. But what I want to say is that there are some positives. So yes, global demand is expected to slow this year, but it's expected to slow slower than what we initially feared when the tariffs were announced in April.
I'm also intrigued to analyze the trend. I know as an economist, much of your analysis is to take a look at the month-on-month movements, but you always deep dive into what the trend is revealing because it helps us understand what kind of cycle we're in. What have your observations been in that regard?
Yeah, so when you talk about trend, I think you mean the sector and economy-wide
Yes.
activity. So the trend here is quite interesting, right? We had the first half of the year actually surprising us on the upside. If anything, if you look everywhere, you'll see economies upwardly revising their GDP growth forecast for this year, and this is mainly a consumer story. So when you look at the sector. Look, yes, the sector is facing headwinds like hefty tariffs on vehicles to the US, but the sector is still quite resilient thanks to some of the factors that you mentioned, like the no load shedding period that we've had, albeit I must say that the water story is still a bit of an issue there. But the trend overall is upwards. And I think the story in terms of the SA growth fundamentals is a bit better than what we thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
Speaking of that, I presume that there are certain sectors in the manufacturing space which are feeling the pinch more than others. Specifically, if we look at OEMs or automotive manufacturers, those within the steel producing space, versus, I guess, maybe those within the FMCG side. And I'm quite keen just to get, your broad brush strokes of the broad lay of the landscape and where we see opportunity versus some pressure.
Yeah, so you put it quite correct to say some subsectors are feeling it more than others, right? And you know what, Gugu, maybe this is an opportunity for me to reveal that we have another survey that we do on a quarterly basis that takes a deep dive into other drivers of confidence in the manufacturing sector.
Okay.
And what we picked up there is that manufacturers are saying that politics right now is a constraint to current activity, right? So when you look at that, you normally think GNU and the likes. No, actually, this is more of an external factor. So because your likes of your car manufacturers, and other sectors that are affected by tariffs way more in that sector, you will see that index going up. So this tariff story is quite a challenging one on activity right now.
Got you. This is going to be an interesting, I guess, theme and lay of the landscape for what we should anticipate going forward. But perhaps, Silo, before I ask you about your projections for the year ahead, I know these are all fundamentally based on statistics and the exogenous factors at play. Our local fundamentals also need to play some kind of role. But as an economist, I can imagine at least this year you've been sleeping better. A few years ago, it wasn't easy sailing for South Africa's economy. But Silo, we've had some great news. Last year, we got removed from the grey list. Interest rates have been softening for some time. The last two meetings we saw from the South African Reserve Bank, MPC, they kept interest rates unchanged. We have our final meeting as we step into November. And overall, it does seem as though growth expectations are a little higher and more optimistic. But what's your analysis as you review the first 10 months of 2025 regarding South Africa's economic performance overall? What are some of the insights that you can share with us?
Yeah, so some of the insights that I want to share is that you forgot two more good news, right?
Yeah.
So one is that, look, on the fiscal side, in terms of public finances,
Yes.
It looks like we are running well ahead of what National Treasury expected in the first 6 months, in terms of tax collections, right? So the fiscal story is looking good. And then when you look at monetary policy, one thing to also highlight is that the SARB now prefers a lower inflation target.
Yes.
Right? Or if you want to put it how the SARB governor puts it, they are preferring inflation expectations to be anchored at the lower end of the 3 to 6% inflation target range. Those are good news, right? Because in the long run, what that should do, maybe let's talk about public finances.
Mm-hmm.
If you know they collect the money that they expect to collect in terms of debt, or you know revenue comes in better than they expect, at least it might offer some relief in terms of taxes going forward, right?
Yeah.
And then on the monetary policy side, one thing that I can tell you is that lower inflation will beget lower interest rates. So as inflation stays where it is and inflation expectations are anchored at a lower point, then we should expect at some point at the SARB to start cutting by a magnitude of about 100 basis points. So that's not nothing, right? So
yeah.
the good news, I mean, in this first 10 months.
100%. Let's hope we sleep better for the remainder of the year, because all it takes is a tweet from that president, Trump. But let's see how things unfold. Silo, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate your time. And yeah, November will be busy. And maybe let's close off there. MTBPS, the medium-term budget speech and expectations from a fiscal point of view. We will be hearing from a monetary policy point of view when it comes to interest rates in the last MPC meeting. And all of that with South Africa also culminating its presidency regarding the G20. And whilst not much has been said about it, but it does seem as though that has filtered through to some level of confidence in our economy and more specifically leadership of our economy. But how are you seeing the closeout of the rest of the year for 2025?
I think one word that I can use is good, hopefully more than good.
Yeah.
So in terms of fiscal policy, what we expect in terms of the MTBPS, look, you know, the recent research that we published did show that, okay, as Mr. Kizwet has said, in the first 18 months, I mean, tax collections are up by 18 billion compared to where National Treasury expected things to be, all else equal. And before you even account for the effects of the, you know, the gold price and platinum price that we've been seeing doing wonders in the second half of the year, it looks like the fiscal story looks good, and National Treasury will meet its budget, a main budget balance target. And then in terms of the MPC, look, so APSA's baseline here is that we think that interest rates will not go anywhere anytime soon. Because when you look at the previous MPC statement, they make a point that they want to see, one, what the rate cuts that they've done recently, the 125 basis points that they've done recently mean for the economy. And two, they still want to see, you know, inflation expectations being more anchored. But Google, I want to say this.
Yeah.
Risks are in a direction of a cut right now, right? Especially if you look at the rand, what it has done, it has appreciated quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the vote split in the last MPC meeting, it was not just one person, but two calling for a rate cut. So all in all, risks are in a direction of a cut, but, you know, my baseline is no rate cut.
Got you. No rate cut. Oh, just before the festive season, Silo, we need it. We need it. Maybe I'm speaking for myself as a consumer. But thank you so much for your time, as always. I really appreciate it. We will be touching base with you before the end of the month, just to reflect on some of the highlights that we've discussed so far tonight. And of course, that upcoming mini budget speech happening next week, actually, on the 12th of November. Thank you again for your time this evening, Silo.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. Silo Sekele, economist at APSA, helping us unpack the PMI numbers. I nearly said CPI, but PMI, that is the Producers Manufacturing Index, taking a look at what we're actually seeing when it comes to the manufacturing space and how manufacturers have been combating some of the pressure. There's some sweet spots, some low lights, some highlights, but all in all, slight contraction below the number 50, and 50 is the median part. So if you think about 50 being not too hot, not too cold, just right. What we need, though, is to see more optimism in terms of confidence when it comes to manufacturing confidence and, of course, the PMI. So stay with us. We are going to expand on many more of these themes coming up on the show tonight. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to. A few of you have been sending them through. Keep them coming, especially in reflection of the conversations we're having tonight. I want to remind you that we will be deep diving into a conversation regarding all things banking. Now, you're probably thinking, Googs, we talk banking all the time. But the truth is, tonight we're going to talk about the change in leadership, upcoming leadership at Tyme Bank, a company that itself actually started back in 2012. And moving into 2026 is also going to change its name to GoTyme. We'll be joined by the current chief commercial officer at the business, who is the incoming CEO, Cheslin Jacobs. Now, if you ask me, and if you've listened to the conversations we've had here on Kaya Biz, you'd know that we've touched base with various leadership at Tyme Bank. And it's phenomenal to not only witness much of the growth, the strategic shifts, the innovative solutions that they've brought to the fore, but also seeing the evolution of the leadership at the helm of the company too. So stay with us. We'll get some insight into banking and so much more specifically related to Tyme Bank on the other side of this.
Click Kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.